I figured we'd do a little bit of tshuva. Okay, I mean, learning about it, and then hopefully we'll do it. So, I don't really have a specific plan in mind. I kind of want to start doing some of these halachos and see how the questions, see what comes up, and we'll take it up. I mean, I have some thoughts, but let's see what happens. And there's something funny in the Rambam is that he basically starts with Ezri Perek Sheni, with Ezri Tshuva Gemura. What is the ultimate tshuva? And then afterwards, in Halacha Beis, he defines what's like tshuva, the basic steps of tshuva. So it's a little funny, but I think I'm going to do it out of order. Okay? It's you know, I kind of interesting that Ram wrote it this way, but I think just for our purposes, I think we'll be. Let's first look at what tshuva is, and then after we get there, then maybe we'll go back to what tshuva Gemara is. Okay, so in Beis, he says, Uma hi hatshuva. What is tshuva? Okay, what is tshuva? So who sheyazov hachot echato? This is that as the sinner leaves his sin, v'yasirenu mimachashavto, and he removes it from his thoughts. Okay, v'yigmar belibo shelo yaseyod, and he concludes that he won't do it again. Shenemar yazov rasha darko, a rasha should leave his way. And a corrupt person should leave his thoughts. Okay? So it's three steps there, right? Yazov, go ahead.
Where is that pasuk, Yazov, Rosh Hashanah?
That's in Yeshayahu, Nunhei. It's a pasuk, actually, if it sounds familiar,
mm-hmm.
Maybe it does, it's, we lay in that as the Haftorah on a fast day. So if you're davening the shul on a fast day, Mincha, that's the Haftorah, which is lain. So I don't know, but it's a famous pasuk. So so what's a yazo? What's the steps? Yazo v'achote chato. Step one, you leave the sin. V'yisirenu mimachashavto. You remove it from your thoughts. V'yigmar b'libo shel yaseyod, and you conclude that you're not going to do it again. Okay, so I think I want to analyze what are those three things. But let's read a little further. Let's just get the halacha, and then we'll come back and analyze it slowly. Okay, v'chein. Also, yisnachem al shavar. He should regret the past. Have regret. So not just that he leaves it and you know removes it from his thoughts and makes a commitment towards the future, but there should also be a regret about the past. Okay.
Interesting that the word regret has the same root as nechama, like he should be comforted.
Consolation, yeah, comfort. Yeah. True.
Question.
Yes.
I don't remember if Vizier's or
Ari.
Or Ari's. But we were talking about how you can't force I think it was Ari's. You can't force an emotion on someone.
Yeah, that was ours.
Right. So we were talking about you can't Abbas force someone Shaman. Right, Abbas Shaman. So you can't force someone to love God. So how can you force someone to have regret?
Okay.
Like good it's question. Not really saying force, but saying you should. It's like good. You know
Yeah, good question. Okay, good, excellent question. So we'll take that up. That's a very good question. So how could you force someone to regret? Regret sounds like an emotion. Kind of.
Yeah. Nobody's ever forced to do tshuva. It's our privilege that we have the opportunity to do tshuva, but Hashem is not forcing anybody to do tshuva.
Well, it is a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. Right? It is a mitzvah. I mean, you're obligated to do it. I mean, as much as you're obligated to take, to whatever. You know. The only other mitzvah we're obligated to do tshuva. It's hard, so we kind of like.
So is Avos Hashem. That's for then. You could say Avos
Hashem. That's true, but we explained how Avos Hashem, how the Torah could do that. Right? That was our question, but we answered. We explained how it's a natural result of the knowledge. So the mitzvah is the knowledge, and then the emotion comes along with it, right?
Right.
So could we do something similar to that here? Well, regret is like, you're saying regret is like an emotion, right? That's kind of what you're saying. You're saying like tshuva is more, you could kind of see, that's more of like a process. Introspection, right? But regret feels like it's an emotion, right?
Right.
Right? Okay, good. Well, what causes regret? Guilt. Okay, well, guilt is also another one of those terms.
You don't do guilt.
Yeah. What causes regret?
Well, if you know you did something wrong, but, I mean, like, when I say, like, if you can learn from something, you're not going to regret it the same way, because you're going to see it as you grew from it. Even if you did something wrong to begin with. So
that's an interesting point. You mean... Depends. It depends what you mean. I mean, I kind of hear what you're saying. See, sometimes that's like a rationalization, so we don't want to feel that hurt, you know? You say, oh, well, we grew from it after all, you know? But sometimes that's true, but I think it depends. If you really lost out, you really, I mean, it depends. Like, a sin isn't something, I mean, yeah, you benefit from the tshuva, but, I mean, sin is something that depends what, let's take a sin, like a guy, someone is, let's say they live their whole life as a, some sort of corrupt type of lifestyle, you know? Whatever the case may be. Maybe some other religion or some sort of taiva life or whatever the case may be. You know, so there's a person, you really lose out by doing that, you know? Or a person is involved in chait, now they really lose out. I mean, you know, you won't have to think into it, but chait really causes you to lose out. Lose out in this world, in the world to come, in terms of your relationship with God, there's a real loss. And you may grow by the process of overcoming it, but it's not necessarily like, okay, great, everything's like, I'm better now than if I would have not done this in the first place. I mean, you've lost opportunities, maybe years worth of you know, energy which you could have been involved in something productive, or I mean, there's actually some, there are negative effects to this.
I once learned a mashal, I don't know if this is practical, but that just like when you do a chait, you're severing the thread that connects you to Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about cutting a rope,
right?
When you tie that rope together again, it becomes shorter because now it has a knot in it.
Uh-huh.
So the mashal is that tshuva actually brings you closer than you were before when you had the original uncut rope.
Uh-huh. Right. But it is a weaker rope now.
Right. It's not a perfect rope.
Right.
But it's shorter.
Yeah, I guess it depends which side God is on. But yeah, so but I would think, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, maybe we have to think into this a little bit more about how tshuva works. But it would seem that the type of answer, I mean, without getting into the particulars to what Miriam's question is that that regret should naturally flow from a proper tshuva. Because you're right, you can't just say, okay, did tshuva? Okay, now regret. Man, how am I supposed to do that? What do you mean, regret it? Am I supposed to just get feel regret? Like, how does that work? But just not, you can't do that. It's just, how does that work? It's just not, you can't bring yourself regret. But if you say that a proper tshuva, a good tshuva, a proper thinking into the chait and the loss of the chait or something like that, so that will naturally bring regret. You know, like if a person, there's such a thing as a natural regret, which, but you have to think into it. And once you think into it, you'll see, oh, I do regret that. That's terrible. If I would have gone, let's say you say, I didn't do a certain business deal because whatever, I was stupid, you know? So I'll think into it, and as I think into it, I'm going to regret it, because I realize if I would have done that, I would have had $1 million. Now I have nothing because I lost out. You know, so that's, you don't have to make yourself feel the regret. It's just you think into it, and you realize the lost opportunities, that will naturally happen, you know what I mean? But let's I think we're going to have to think, though, how that fits into the process. Is this, like, is it natural? Is it something you're supposed to do? Like, how exactly is it, does this thing fit into the process, you know? It's interesting, also, he has, when do you regret it? Before you do tshuva or after you do tshuva?
That's the only thing. Usually it's regret that leads you to do tshuva.
Right, you think so, right? You think so, right? But how does it sound from the Rama?
But here it sounds like the regret comes afterwards.
So yeah, it does sound that way. You could argue, but I don't think you could argue in a second. But for now, you could just say, he just says, v'chein yisnachem al shavar, and also, you have regret on the past. So you may say, look, it's come second in the Rambam because it's like of secondary importance, but maybe it happens, you could argue maybe it would happen first. But look at the pasuk he quotes, Shneamar, how do we know that you have to have regret? Ki acharei shuvi nichamti, because after I did tshuva, I regretted it. V'acharei hodoi, it means after I became known to me, sepakti al yarech. I went like I, you know, like, oy, like I saw it, I like hit my thigh. You know, there's a certain like, you know, so it's basically it's like a person who got to this, oh, okay, lost opportunity, you know, that kind of thing. So, but you see, openly, it says after, right? So it's after you do tshuva. So, right, that's interesting. You'd think regret should be before, right? That's what gets a person to start doing tshuva. I regret my sins and now I have to start doing tshuva. But it seems like here, where the Rambam has it, it's an after the tshuva. Okay, it's like b'chein, it's an additional thing that you somehow also do. Okay, good, let's keep going. Right, there are a lot of questions. I mean, I think it's good to get a picture of the whole thing and then come back and try to analyze the different parts. Okay, now, v'yoyer olav yodea talumos, shelo yosov lazeh chei lo'olam. What does that mean? You know, Yodea Telumos means the knower of secrets. It means Hashem. V'yoed Olov Yodea Telumos. It's not clear exactly how to translate this, but anyone want to attempt?
Only God knows if he really kept to never doing that again.
Okay. But V'yoed Olov means that God
bears
witness, testifies that he won't return to the sin again. Okay? So it means in the real tshuva, God will bear witness to the fact that he won't ever go back to it. Which means somehow, like, the real tshuva, he really isn't going to go back to it. So everyone's going to say that I can go back to it, but it means really, it's really true. It means God will testify. I mean, God's not making an announcement or whatever, but it means it's a true, absolute fact that he won't go back to the sin. That's the real tshuva. Real tshuva is one that God knows that you won't go back to it. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, "V'lo nomar od elo heinu l'maisei adenu, asher v'chol yiruchem yasom." That they won't call maisei adenu Eloheinu. They won't call the maisei adenu is like the work of their hands, the idols or whatever. They won't call the work of their hands Eloheinu, the our God. Right? That's like an old zara. Says asher v'chol yiruchem yasom. That I'm not sure how the context of the pasuk is, but it basically says that they no longer say that. So in other words, l'nomar od, they won't again say it. So it's showing you that in the real tshuva, a person will never again do it. Okay, in the future, they won't ever do it again. Okay, v'tzorchlis v'ados b'svasav v'lomar and yonas elo shigam v'leva, and you have to enunciate, give vidoy. Confess with your lips and to say these things.
Also, like, usually Vito is the first thing and it's coming here after the
right.
Haratana and
Azir. Right, after everything, right. You have to enunciate that these things that you already concluded in your heart. Right. Well, it kind of makes sense because in the Vito you're going to say, I've sinned and I regret it and I'm embarrassed and I'm not going to do it again. So it's hard to say that before you did that process, because otherwise it's empty. You're just saying that, but it's not real. So
I thought vidoy is like the first step in the 12-step program, where you first have to admit that you have a problem, because you can't really do tshuva unless you admit that you
right.
were wrong.
That's hakaras achet, right? That means recognize that you did a chet. It's true. I don't know. It's interesting. It's not here, but. It seems like that's a prerequisite for it. But vidoy, at least here vidoy, is not just saying I did something wrong. Vidoy is, it's a good point, is that you can understand the vidoy confession before you do tshuva. You have to first recognize the thing. That kind of makes sense. I have to enunciate that I did it. That makes sense. But that's not what the Rambam's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Here the Rambam's talking about after you did all this stuff, then you have to enunciate it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, what do I need to enunciate it for? I already did it. Right? If I did it, I did it. Right beforehand, you could say it's a stimulus to get me to do it. But here, I already did it. So what am I? Why do I have to enunciate it? What's the point of, I already concluded it. I already did all these steps. Then I have to say it for what? But it seems like that's what the Rambam's holding. That's the mitzvah of, the mitzvah of vidoy is afterwards. And that's why, like, the mitzvah we do vidoy in Yom Kippurim. In theory, Rosh Hashanah, Seder Yom Tshuva is supposed to be a period where we're involved in tshuva. You know, and the Malchiyos and all the ideas of Rosh Hashanah should stimulate us, bring us towards tshuva, and we should be involved in the tshuva. And then it culminates in Yom Kippurim. In Yom Kippurim, we're involved in vidoy, and you know, so that's like the end of the process of tshuva seems to be the vidoy. You know, like it's not just empty. Vidoy is the inyanim which you're gomer v'libo, which you really concluded in your heart. So. Just to do a laundry list of all the things you did wrong, the Christian confession is like that, right? Like you go to the priest and you say, I did this and I did this and 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 now forgive me. But that's not, that we don't hold that. That's not, because it doesn't work. You know, it's just empty. You know, you did all these things. Okay, so you did all these things. So you're a bad person or whatever. What are you doing? Right, well, the point of Vido is I did these things, but I'm not going to do them again. And I did tshuva, and I thought into it, and I regret it, and I really have left it, and I'm never going to do it again. And that's what you're saying. That's a meaningful thing. And if you haven't done that, just to say, just because you're supposed to say it, just to say empty things, which is not true. I mean, you're standing before God. You shouldn't just lie and just say things. You know, it's common practice to, you know, just think of it, list all the things we did, and say I'm never going to do it again. But that's superficial. It never works, and you always end up doing it again. So it's something we have to. It's hard. I mean, shuvah's hard. I mean, this is one of the hardest mitzvahs, right? That's why you don't say no one's telling us to do it. We are told to do it, but it's really hard. So we want to think. You know, it's convenient to think that we don't have to, but we do have to. It's a mitzvah, and we have to do it. But it's hard. It's a very, very hard mitzvah. But it's the most of the most important because this is how we gain. Like, I think it's a bad idea, by the way, to do tshuva on 50 things per Yom Kippur. You know, it just doesn't work. Like, I heard Rabbi Sion somewhere. It's like, someone said, it's like, if you could do tshuva on one thing per Yom Kippur, you know, that would be great. You know, if you could just manage the real tshuva. That's, you know, it's, you do 50 things, you end up doing nothing. And a month later, nothing, you know, the month is being generous. It's probably usually more quickly than that. But sometimes it could last for a week or whatever. But to really do tshuva on one thing is very difficult. So sometimes you get distracted. You know, you think about one thing, and you say, okay, done with that. Okay, I think about that thing. And it turns out you never really focus on any one thing. So tshuva is something which is hard work, and it takes a certain focus, and it's real. I mean, I think that's the difference, like a New Year's resolutions or a Christian type of thing. That's just like kind of, you know, you feel guilty, you have a certain guilt attack, you say all these things, and you hope that, you know, hope for the best, kind of. But since it's not really based on any insight or any real thinking into the harm of the chait, why I'm doing the chait, how it's harming me, what the better route is, a plan of action so I could avoid it in the future, it's just wishful thinking, which, you know, I'm sure we've all witnessed, you know, experienced many times that thing, just the type of thinking doesn't really work. You know, so it's worth thinking into tshuva and how to make it actually, you know, worthwhile and lasting. But definitely the root is through thinking. You know, it's not just through a guilt attack, but it has to definitely be through some sort of analysis. So that's why I think the vidui here is good. We still haven't answered our question, but it's not a vidui before tshuva. A vidui before tshuva isn't, doesn't... Hakara sachet, yes. And it's interesting the Ram doesn't have that here. But it seems definitely that's a first step. I mean, you can't get started if you don't realize. If a person thinks they don't do anything wrong, then they're not going to do tshuva. So obviously, it's a prerequisite for doing tshuva is they realize, I did all these chataim. And it's Hashan of a guy, you know, whatever. You could say that you've done chataim. But the mitzvah of Yidui, and the one that Ram's talking about here, is the final step. And our question, I guess, would be, what's the point? If I read the tshuva, so what do I need to do? Or what do I need to say it? What's the point of saying it, you know? So that's a good question which hopefully we can answer.
Can I ask you a question? Yes, we're gonna come back to all these questions. Yeah, I'm just together, or whatever, because I have like things to say, but we're gonna come back. Oh yeah, no, we're ready to take things now.
I mean, we could maybe
can I add one more question?
Yeah, add questions. Yeah, let's add questions and then we can start taking them up. I don't really care in what order, you know, but let's just ask all the questions that we have and then. I mean, there's a lot of problems, right? But this is, I feel like, is a very fundamental. I mean, this is basically laying out the steps, what's involved in tshuva, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so another question, Al.
So I was just thinking about the text of Vidoy that we say, that we read from the Siddur.
Right.
It's not like we're free flow where we can just
ad-lib our own stuff.
We have a specific text for Vidoy.
Correct.
So I have two questions on that. One is, why would we have this whole list if, let's say, some of them apply to us, but some of them don't apply to us. And, you know, does it make it kind of meaningless if you have some things in there that don't really apply to you, and then you're like getting, like you said, getting distracted by all those other things, but really you should be focusing on the things that you need to save you to
that. Correct.
And then, I forgot my other question.
Okay, that's good.
Also, on that point, like, why then would we have Vidoy as like a laundry, formulated like a laundry list? If, I mean, even God must know that it's like impossible to, like, in the proper way, regret all those things on one day. And but that wasn't what I was going to ask. Was that what you wanted to ask? Or
yeah, along the lines of that, like, it just seems like that if the point of the Vidoy is after you've already worked on yourself for specific chataim that you've done. Then why is it so formulaic the way we say Vidoy?
Also, just a general question that I could have asked in the beginning is just, it seems unusual that the Torah would give us a formula for how to complete a mitzvah. Like, in most cases, we have the mitzvah, and then we've even had discussions here about which steps are like natural consequences of, you know, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
it seems unusual to have like quite this
details,
organized, detailed description of how the mitzvah is completed. Most cases, it's up to us to sort of develop a concept. And also, along the lines of Ayala's question, like, it seems like, is there really just one way to do a proper tshuva? I mean,
well, he's not telling you.
Some people, let's say, are not as like psychologically deranged and may not need to go through
right.
like this process in order to like, you know, release a sin and.
Right. Well, he's not sure this. He's not telling you how to do it. He's not saying how do I go about. Sort of isn't.
They're internal,
but he's not like, I wish he would tell you how to do it. He's just saying you have to relieve your chet. Okay, how exactly do you do that? So that he's not getting into. How are you going to figure out and like stop thinking, you know, remove it from your think thoughts and never do it again? So he's telling you like the elements which have to be present. And it's true, he's doing a lot of things,
yeah.
But he's not really telling you how to do it internally. It's a good question.
Yeah, I guess
I'm
not recommending like psychoanalysis.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Exactly. He's not doing that, but it's a good point. But I guess we have to analyze these steps and see why these steps are all necessary. But if you could show, you know, like if you don't have, we have to show why they're necessary. But presumably, once we would do that, then that would kind of answer that question.
Right.
But I'm not sure exactly what you mean that, and like I think most mitzvahs, I'm not sure which mitzvahs you're thinking of, but do have a lot of details about how to do them.
Well, even Ahavas Hashem,
right,
does not seem to carry quite as many
right.
like characteristics of how it's completed.
Right, that's true. Sure, but I think that's more the exception than the rule. I think so. Like most mitzvahs, like take a little off. I mean, they have a whole book, you know. Sukkah. I mean, there's so many mitzvahs.
That's true.
So details and details and details. This is pretty, you know.
That's true. This is pretty big.
Yeah, it's pretty big in that regard, you know.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah. But to answer back to Ayala's question. So I think this is just an important fact. It's, I'll even answer, but it'll raise another question. But there's two vidois. There's the vidoy which we do in the Seder, and then there's the vidoy that Ram's talking about, and the mitzvah vidoy. The mitzvah vidoy. Where's Ram at? Ketzer Mitzvada. Where does he have that? He had that in the previous verse, I think. He has it in Aleph. But he basically says in Perek Aleph Alechal, Ketzer Mitzvada. If you look in the middle, it's in the middle of Perek Aleph Aleph Aleph. You see that? The very beginning. In the middle of the halacha I'm reading from. Ketzer Mitzvada, like halfway through the halacha, Omer, Ana Hashem. This is what you should say. And we should do this. This is something that you should do in your Shemoneh Esrei, let's say before, let's say before the last Yul Ratzon, right before you go the steps back, you know, or at some point, essentially, some point in the middle there, after you finish, so you know, Rosh Hashanah, Shabbat Shalom, but you know, but before you take your steps back, you should say, if you did tshuva on anything, Ano Hashem, please Hashem, Chatasi Avisi Pashanti Lefanecha. I have done these different kinds of sins. Okay, Chatasi is like usually for us like shogeg. Accidental, avon. VC is like a more willful sin, and Pashati is like a rebellious sin. Pashati fanecha, I've done these sins before you. VCC kach v'kach, and I have done blankety blank, fill in the blanks. Okay, and that's a personal thing. V'harei nichamti u'boshti b'masai, and I am I regret and I am I'm embarrassed with my actions. U'lolmei nichozer l'davrazeh, and I'll never return to these things. Period. Okay, so that's basically that's a personal vida, and that's something which you could write in your siddur or something or whatever.
Watchfulness.
I don't know. Somehow they don't have it, but this is like this is I think what the Ram's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This is the personal vida, and you say your own things, and the list could be as long or as short as you do tshuva on, you know.
Right.
But then that's not when. And this you're really saying I'm not going to do it again. This is an aleph. If you like,
okay.
In the middle of aleph. Perek Aleph Aleph Aleph, which is Ketzer Mitzvada. That's the one has your own personal formula for teshuva, for vidoy.
I've seen, I think, in the Shemoneh Esrei for Tanis, some Siddurim have like a little thing on the bottom that says,
Atasi Avisi Vashati Refracti Fake Ploni.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've seen that in some
Yeah, so that's what, that's the, basically this. I mean, there's an honest formulation. I'm sure you can do it in different formulations. But that's so. What we're doing, if you notice this, you say, I'm not going to do it again. But when we say, Ashanu Begadnu, Anachi Chatana this, Ashanu Fala that, you don't say, I'm not going to do it again. That you just say, and all these, God forgive us. You know, Slach Lanu, Machal Lanu, Kapra Lanu. That's, I think that, and it's a good question what exactly all that stuff is, but I think that's then in the Tzibor. You didn't do every single one of those, but the Tzibor did. And there's an idea of like, it's a Yom of Kapara for Klal Yisrael, for the Tzibor. And as a Tzibor, we're saying, you know, forgive us for all the sins we've done this and we've done this. And that list is exhaustive. And all someone in the Tzibor has, you know. So we come before God as individuals who are doing our own little personal tshuva and vidui. And then we're coming before God as a Tzibor who are involved in asking for Kapara to Klal Yisrael. And that list, that's why we don't say, I'm not going to do it again, because you can't accept on behalf of the Tzibor, you're not going to do it again. That's, we just have to do Hakar Sachet and express that we are, you know, as a nation, we recognize that we're sinful and that we continue to exist only because of God's forgiveness and God, you know, God allows us to exist. So that's I think, what we're doing there, you know, what's in the Siddur. But a personal one, I guess the Siddur doesn't say, but it's personal. But I would recommend, you know,
that's why it's
memorizing this or putting...
Yeah,
exactly. Asham nu, but God knew, exactly. You know, or some people say Ashamni, but that's not... that's how they pronounce their news,
yeah. Yeah, here, in the Siddur, it says, Bebercha Shema Kolenu Kodem Shemisayim Ki Ata Shomea Yisvade Behachna O Beshiron Le V'yomar Ona Hashem Chatasi Avisi Pashati Bufanecha Miyom Yosiyad Al Hadamad Yom Hazeb Ufrat Bechay Ploni. You can fill in the blank over there.
And is that a for Tainus or it's always?
It's any time.
Yeah, okay. Well, oh, it's Tainus.
No,
anytime.
I think you could say that any time during Shema Kolenu.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, on Yom Kippur, you don't have Shema Kolenu, but you say it in the end of, you know, during the Vida, somewhere in the middle of those Vidas, before the Shema Vida, or after, you know, so you should, you know, you could write that, you could write this in your Machzor or whatever, or remember it, it's not that long. Mm-hmm. But this is, so they're two different things. Somehow this is overlooked, but, you know, so that's what the laundry list is, yeah, for class part of Klal Yisrael, where there is a laundry list. But then when you're dealing with your own little thing, or their own personal Vidayim, so then it doesn't involve such a, you know, such
you
a lot.
Your own laundry list.
You can have your own laundry list, but I think it should be a laundry list which is of things that you really do tshuva on, or have done tshuva on this year, or have done tshuva on at any point in your life. Like your mom says, you should do tshuva vidui constantly on all the things that you've overcome, you know.
Mm.
But there's but it shouldn't just be, I mean, how long is the list going to be? I mean,
why should you?
Good question. I don't know.
I thought that once you've done chew on something, you're not supposed to dwell on it. Like, you're kind of wiping the slate clean.
Yeah, I know. But
it's all in process. So, like, you have to kind of go through the entire process, which takes a while.
Right, but it's even so, that's true. Chavisa, it's true. It is long, and you can't, you know, you can't just... But even if you've done it, you've done the process,
yeah.
20 years ago, whatever, still, the Ram says you should still, you know, you should still do it. Good question, why? I'm not sure. It's a demand that, you know, needs its own analysis. But I'm just saying that's how you can get a pretty long list. But, I mean, your lists, you know, how long could the list really be? I mean, you have to be realistic about what you're really doing tshuva on.
It seems almost psychologically to dwell on something that you've already done tshuva for. Maybe it's not tshuva gemura, but if you try to do tshuva, you did the steps.
Yeah.
And then to bring it up again, it's kind of psychologically, isn't it, dragging you back to the
state? I'm not sure. It could be it does, but it could be. I haven't really analyzed the thing, but there is something. It's like a person always has a tendency to regress, you know, and like perhaps it's just an idea. So you can't ever like put it behind you. Like even if you have overcome it, there's still perhaps a tendency to go back, and therefore you can't.
Even if it wasn't intentional? Like, even if it was just you ate something that wasn't kosher and you didn't realize it wasn't kosher at the time?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. No, I don't know. I'm not sure. That's a good question if that's really the things that we're really doing tshuva on. Depends. I guess it depends what kind of kosher. I mean, look, I guess there's tshuva on shogigs. I guess if you weren't careful, it depends. See, if it's really totally absolute accident, no fault whatsoever, so then I don't know if you have to tshuva on it. The tshuva is because you were careless and you ate something and you weren't paying attention. So then, yeah, then you could regress to that because then you have a weakness that you're not careful about stuff, you know. So it's, you know, like a person who kills by accident and goes to Tari Miklat, it's a sin because you got to be careful when people are around, you know. So when you're dealing with the Yisurim, a person has to be careful. So sometimes a shogeg, the reason why you do tshuva on a shogeg is because, by accident, is because you weren't careful. But if it's really no fault, you know, then that's not what you end up. That's not, you know, it's not, they don't do tshuva on that. It's not really a sin. It's like a totally onus. It's like a nothing, you know, that's not, you may have treif particles in your body, but that's not really, you know.
Could I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
It's a little off topic also. Okay. But, about tshuva, like, do you do tshuva on, like, specific actions that you do, or do you do tshuva, like, on character traits that, like, cause you to do those actions? Like, when you're doing tshuva, do you, like, think about, you know, like, let's say you ate treif. Like,
right.
I ate, like, what I did. Like, I was careless. Or do you think, like, at that moment I was careless and what caused me to be careless?
Right.
Or do you think about, like, I'm a careless person and, like, I have to...
That's a good question. It's a good question.
That's the most effective way.
Mm-hmm. It would seem... It's a good question. There's also another question is like... Related question. The answer asking another question. That's an easy way to avoid answer. But there's an idea of like, you could just you could even if you didn't eat something or whatever.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So even if you didn't like, you could just have a character trait in its own right, even forgetting about a sin. You could just do tshuva for, like, I'm an angry person, or I'm a, you know, even not tied in with a particular, you know, chait also. What you're saying is, like, given that it is a particular chait, so then should you go about it by thinking about the chait or the personality trait? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like usually when you have a character trait, like it comes down to a lot of different areas.
Right, I understand. Well, it seems like it's hard to, I think, what do you think?
I'm trying to think about it. I don't know.
What do you guys think? That's a good question. What do you guys think? You have Chavi's question?
It could be either, depending on the situation. Because some sins may be a result of a character trait, and some sins could just be a sin of the moment that has nothing to do with what's the word I'm looking for? People's character traits are usually a combination of inborn and environment, right? So you take those with you through life.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, there are some things that just happen, like on the moment, that really have nothing to do with what your makeup is.
I don't know if I agree with that. I'm sorry. I think, like, if you did something... Well, no, I think, like, there are mistakes, you know? So, like, that would, you wouldn't be accountable for that. But I think, like, if you're doing something, there's something, you know, going on in your head that's making you do that, you know? So, I think it's a character trait that you have if you're doing something.
Like, your trait may be that you're more, you know, quick to act in a tough situation, or, you know, that you're easily attracted by pig or whatever the case may be, you know, like that itself could be a trait, or you're easily thrown off of your guard when things happen, you know. But it's, yeah, I think it's right, it's always going to have something like cause something within you, like you don't have enough control over your whatever, you know, over talking Lashon Hara, over whatever it is, even if it's a one-time thing. It seemed to have to be just to say that I ate pig and now I have to do tshuva for eating pig. What, how are you gonna do that? Like, what do you mean? I'm not gonna eat pig again. Well, why do you eat pig? Like, if you don't get down to at least thinking about on a deeper level, well, I really, I don't know. Sometimes I get really hungry and whatever. I don't know, whatever it is that sometimes I forget, and what those things more important to me is the moment and the food, and I lose sight of a bigger picture, and you know, and you start getting into your character on some level and realize why it's like harmful to you. So something to that effect. It would seem to be, you have to, for it to work, I think you have to get into your personality a little bit. Now there's different levels of personality. Just to say, I'm a careless person, I forgot what your example was. Is that
right?
Mean?
Yeah.
That's like a very open-ended kind of a thing. You know what I mean? I don't know how
right.
productive that's going to be, because I don't know how how easy it is to become a non-careless person. You know what I mean? It's just, it's very, very
right.
broad.
Right.
You know, so, but sometimes you can make it a little more local. You know what I mean? I know I have a weakness about pig. And
right.
I know that pig has a certain whatever attraction to me. And mm-hmm. I have to realize that that's, you know, I get carried away by the moment and the, you know, the momentary pleasure. But I realize right after I have the pleasure, I realize it's no big deal and it's not worth it. And I don't know, something think into. You know, I think there's a middle ground. Not, can't be too particular, but I think if you get too broad, you're never going to get anywhere because you can't become a different person overnight. Certainly not. Not on one Yom Kippur. I mean, it's a lifelong type of a thing. But it's tricky. I mean, there's no exact. So that's what I wish the Rambam would give you a little bit more formula about how to do these things. But I think it does have to get to your character, or you know, on some level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
But,
it's a good.
Yeah. Okay. So back to any other questions? Or should we go back to our original questions? We still have a bunch of questions pending here. Okay. So we'll go back. So we're doing the Rambam and Hilchos Teshuva. Okay, so we read through the halacha, but now we're going to kind of go through it again and try to ask questions and answer them. So, you're good. Okay, so he says, what is tshuva? Okay, what is tshuva? So he has, the first three steps are kind of go together. Sheyazov achot echato, that a sinner should leave, abandon his chet. V'yasirenu v'machashavto, should remove it from his thoughts. And should conclude in his heart that he won't do it again. The Russia should leave his path, and a corrupt person his thoughts. So what are these three things? They sound like almost the same. Yazov chotechato, you leave the sin, you remove it from your thoughts, and you conclude that you never can do it again. So what are these steps? What are these three steps?
I think the first step, I just thought something about the first step.
Okay. Yeah, that's the way to do it, one at a time.
That you're removing the sin from yourself, like you're like, this is not me, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sin, it has nothing to do,
right.
you know, with like my
yeah.
personality, like
yeah.
I have, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like.
Uh-huh.
What I'm
yeah.
trying to say is, like, you have to just, like, separate yourself from this.
Right,
thing.
I understand. You just leave it. Abandon it.
Yeah.
Right.
And pretend,
yeah.
and kind of, like, know that, like, you'll be good without it, you know?
Right,
you'll
I understand.
You'll be better
that.
Without it.
Right. Right, you just leave it behind.
Well, it's, okay.
Step away. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, you're leaving the chet is physically.
Okay.
Right? Moving it from your thoughts is mentally.
Okay.
And concluding your heart has to do it again is emotionally. So you're really leaving clay on three different levels.
Okay.
And, like, if you're...
Why is Yigmar believe emotionally, I say about emotionally?
Say it again?
Why is that last one emotionally? Where do you see emotionally in that? Yigmar believe emotionally, I say about...
Belibo.
Oh, Belibo. Well, Belibo, Yigmar Belibo, I think, means, like, your life is, like, your internal, you know, you have, like, a conclusive... I don't know if it necessarily means like an emotion. Lev is like your insides, because it means yigmar b'libo shalaseyod means. I hear what you're saying, but I think it means like there's a gemira. It's a good question. What it means? Let's go slowly. So again, the first step we'll get to the third one. So the first one is yazav echot echato physically. You said right.
Yeah.
Physically, you're not going to do it, right? That's
right.
What I mean. Physically, you're removed from it. That's it. It's lost. Then, what does it mean, Yisrael Machshav, though? What does that mean, you're removed from your thoughts? Mentally, but what does that mean? Like, practically, what does that mean?
Well, you're going to think about what you're doing, why it's wrong, and you're going to think about a way to prevent it in the future.
So, but that's yasirenu mimachshavto means you remove it from your thoughts. So
to not dwell on it,
so you're not going to think about it anymore.
It seems like you're not going to. You're not going to think about it. You're not going to dwell on it. What did you say, Chavi?
It sounds like it should be the opposite, because like you want to tell them to do it, and you want to think about why you shouldn't do it anymore.
It's true.
You know?
But maybe after you do that, then you remove it from your thoughts.
Right. So is that part of the first step? Like,
maybe.
It seems almost like this. There are certain kinds of chataim that are brought about through like Hirhurim.
Right.
Right? So those are the kinds of chatam that you really have to remove from your thoughts.
From your thoughts, I understand.
But I think if you just tell yourself I'm not gonna think about it again, it's not it's practically it's not gonna happen, you know?
Right. Right, so that means, like, it's true, right? That's a good question. That's kind of similar to Miriam's question before. Like, how do you just remove it from your thoughts? I mean, your mind doesn't work that way, right? You can't... if you could just say, I'm not going to think about this anymore, yeah, that just doesn't work. That's the best way to think about something is to say you're not going to think about it, and then your mind just starts going. It just doesn't work. So what does that mean, remove it? How do you remove it from your thoughts? I understand that you can remove an action. I'm not going to do it again. It's hard, but at least you have control over your actions. You know, you can tie yourself down or whatever. But what does that mean, I'm going to remove my thoughts? How do you do that? You can't just like pick it up and take it and put it somewhere else. It's in your mind. Your mind's going to go to it. So, you know?
Maybe they didn't know about it.
They didn't know about it?
They didn't know that what they were doing was wrong.
Who?
The person.
Oh. And therefore?
So it's not in their mind to know.
Oh. Well, then what does it mean? I'm not sure what you mean. Like, take an example. So someone, you're saying someone sins by accident, you mean?
Yeah, like a tinok shalmash.
Uh-huh. And then you're saying you remove it from your thoughts means...
It's not in their thoughts.
What, to do this then?
They wouldn't know that they're doing wrong.
Oh, but now this is talking about when a person does tshuva. So let's say tinok shalmashpo who is eating pig because let's say they didn't know. So now they did tshuva, they realize, and they did tshuva, and they remove themselves from it, they're never going to do it. Now they remove it from their thoughts. So what does that mean? I think he's describing like the steps.
They work on it so that they don't
think
they don't want to do it anymore.
Oh, okay, so they don't want to do it. So you're saying it doesn't mean that you don't think about it, what you're saying is that you don't want to do it anymore. The thought could pop into your head, but you don't want it. Okay.
It's definitely a way of like having a craving for something that like you're refraining from, like it's
right.
constantly on your mind. Almost the physical refrain creates
causing more to
right.
the mental exercise of like.
Right. So how do you do this though? So how do you remove it? And I think you're saying, what are you saying? You're saying you think into it and work on yourself so that you don't desire it anymore. Is that what you're saying, or so that you?
It's like. Yeah,
because
we...
Something like that, right?
Something like that.
It's not... Right, could we get that clearer? What do? You remove it from your thoughts.
Well, then wouldn't you think of, like, the opposite thought that's stronger?
You mean the opposite thought of that you don't want to do it? Is that what you mean?
Or what you should be doing?
No,
so... Obviously, the right thing to do is always... There's a reason behind it. There's always a stronger pull to do that.
The right thing to do.
So, right, the right thing
okay.
to do. So,
I mean, like, there's obviously, like, the right thing to do, there's a rational reason that you couldn't understand behind it, right?
So if you think about why you're doing it, understand why you're doing that, right, then when you understand that, that's going to end up being stronger
mm-hmm.
than your desire
right.
to do the wrong thing.
Right,
and
correct.
So, in a sense... The right thing is really
overpowering
the wrong,
right.
the wrong thing.
Right. But are you saying you're never going to have a thought, like a fleeting thought to do it?
No, but then if you think about the right thing,
oh, at that
think
moment,
about what's right.
Right, I understand. So you must mean is like, it doesn't mean that you're never going to have a thought pop into your head, but there's like, and someone said this, like there's an idea like you dwell on something. Like you may, for instance, say, remove yourself from eating pig, you know, or from talking Lashon Hara or something, you know? But you like fantasize about it. Like you're just thinking, if only I could do it, and you start thinking about what it's like, and like this, you can't control like thoughts popping into your head, but then you could try to pop them out of your head. But then there's an idea of like indulging the thoughts. Sometimes something pops into your head and you could, you know, direct mental energy towards it. You know, so that saying is, if you really understand that it's wrong and that's not something that you want and it's something that leads you down a bad path and it harms you, so then the thoughts come, but you don't actively engage the thoughts. You remove the thoughts. What you do is it becomes something which you realize that's a fake. You realize it's faking me out. I have a thought that I wish But you guys are like, that's bad. I'm just done that. I already abandoned that. And I'm not going to put any mental energy into it. So the thought could pop in, but you've already become convinced of the ra of the thing or the harm of the thing to you. And therefore, you overpower it. You overpower the thought. So you can't stop the thought from coming into your head because that comes from an unconscious thing or whatever it is, and you can't remove that. But you could, if you really understand that it doesn't make sense, so then you could, you could just, you know, like ignore it, drop it from your mind. Realize quickly, you don't dwell on it. There's an idea of dwelling on something, but then if you realize something is wrong, you stop dwelling on it.
All of these things are only if you're over on a mitzvah lo sase, but this kind of tshuva doesn't seem to apply if you omit a mitzvah sase, because when you start thinking about how you should be building a sukkah,
right,
and you didn't build a sukkah last year when you should have built a sukkah,
right,
so you should keep that thought in your mind. You shouldn't remove that thought.
No, well, the thought then would be to be negligent about doing mitzvah sukkah.
So you should remove the thought of being negligent about
right.
sukkah.
Right, and the sin of bittul asay is to not do the asay. You know, so it's basically I'm just sitting around, or let's say it's I went inside and I sukkah kasuya. I didn't want to sleep in the sukkah. It was really annoying. I just wanted to, you know, so the thought would be don't direct the energy towards thinking about it. You know,
mm-hmm.
So there's an idea of planning, and you know, there's an idea of just thinking and indulging your thoughts in the forbidden, you know, in something which is you know is not good. You know it's not right, but you evolve your thoughts in it anyways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you stop doing it, but you do it in your head. You fantasize about it. There's an idea. You could not be doing something, but you could be fantasizing about it. So that means your part of you is still attached to the thing as being a good, as being the right thing. You're exercising self-control. You know, you're not doing it, but you're still involved in your head. So why is that important? Why should you do that? Who cares? Let's say I think about it, big deal. The sin isn't thinking about it. The sin is doing it. Like, why is that a step? Why do I have to do that?
Because if you're thinking about it and still valuing it, you're most probably going to end up doing it.
Okay, good. So that's one thing, is definitely it's probably not going to last, because it means you really still hold by it. Right? So it's going to end up...
And even if you don't, it's still lacking your personality. Yeah.
Okay, good. Right, it seems like the sin is not just... And that gets to your first point, the point of your question before, is that the harm of the sin is not just that you do action X. It's the total sin is bad for you. It's a wrong. It's a false. It's a false value system. It's sort of, let's say, it's taiva. It means you're a value taiva above all else. Or it's lashon hara. It means you're attached to petty and gossip. And, you know, there's something wrong about it. It's harmful to the person. So even if you never do it, but you're still attached to it. Your energy is still attached to it. You're still thinking about it. You're still involved in it. You may not be violating the particular sin, but that's not really tshuva. It's not the tshuva is where you turn away from the sin. You realize that this is bad. This is harming you. This leads you away from what you really want to be doing. And to the degree that you're still attached to it, and you know, in your mind, so it means you haven't really done tshuva. You may be controlling yourself, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. That kind of depends on how. What type of things you put in to stop you. But I think you're right, in general it's not going to work. But maybe a person could put a strong enough pressure or guilt or whatever it is that, you know. But still, it means internally it's not, tshuva is not just stopping an action. And the Torah is not just about actions, it's about your internal personality and your attachments to the Torah and the values of the Torah as being true and real, and the chet and the values of chet as being false and corrupt and harmful. You know, so it's not enough. First step is, like, I think we're going to do it. First step, physically, you're not doing the chait. That's the first thing. You can't start, you can't remove your energies from it intellectually if you're still doing the thing. I mean, that can't happen. The first thing is, like, it's also, I got to stop. I'm stopping. I'm pulling myself away. I'm not doing it. This isn't me. I don't do this kind of thing anymore. Right? Like you were saying, it's separate. I left it. It's a good word. It's not like you stop doing it. You ozev it. Like, you leave it. That's your point. Right? It's like it's left. It's not you. But still, then there has to be an internal thing. It's not enough just to do that. You have to internalize it through a thought process. And like Miriam was saying, is you got to have positive thoughts, intellectual ideas, which combat the thing. And when the thought comes in your head, you have to be able to knock it out based upon, you know, a real internal commitment to Tov. Good. And then the last thing, what's the third one here? Not the last, but the third one in this list. is Uvigmar Libo Shalayaseod. And you have to commit. I think Yigmar Belibo means it's like an internal, conclusive commitment that you're not gonna do it again. What's that? Isn't that the same thing as Yazov? Didn't we already do that? What's that? Yigmar Belibo. Conclude in your heart that you're not gonna do it again. See, I don't think it's really just an emotion. Doesn't consent. It's like conclusive. Like Yigmar is like a conclusive thing, you know. So if it's just an emotion, then you're not gonna. Just the emotion. What's that gonna do, you know? I think. I'm not sure. If it is an emotion, you have to defend it a little bit and explain it, you know. But I'm not sure what it is. I'm just saying it's hard to. See. That's our question, I guess. What is that? What is this last thing, you know?
I think that I hear your point that it kind of could be like. You feel so like strong against it, you know. You're like, that thing's just not appealing to me anymore, you know. So like,
and that naturally follows from the work that you did in step two of removing it from your thoughts.
Right, exactly.
Well, how about this? A lot of our actions are results of emotions.
Right.
Like you feel one way, and so you do something else.
Correct.
So if you want to stop that action, you have to change that emotion.
Right.
You know, overcome the emotion or rationalize it.
But what I'm saying is, like, after that, after that whole, like, process, your emotions are, like, in line with your intellect, you know?
Right.
You're, like, your emotions are telling you, like, that's wrong, you know?
Oh, so that's the Yigmar Belibo.
I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense.
So what's the difference, then? So what's the difference? What's the difference between Yazov, you leave the chait, and then Yigmar Belibo Shalei Asayavod?
Yazov is, like we said, physical, so it's the physical action.
Right.
So by definition, it's something that you can only do in the past, right? Because you're physically removing yourself from that.
The present also,
the
Yigmar
Belibo is towards future looking.
Right, I understand.
It's not like, I guess you could be physically keeping yourself away from whatever the temptation is in the future, but...
Right.
It's much deeper than just
Right. Yeah, okay, good. So we're saying that, so Yazov is, I'm leaving it. You abandon it. It's almost like a present phenomenon. Present, past. I say present is better way to say it, right? It's like, that's it. I'm leaving it. It's there. Okay? Me. Right? Separate. Okay, I'm leaving it. Then you internally say, okay, I'm not just leaving it physically, but you think into it and you remove your energies from it. But then there's an idea of, like, commitment. It's like there's a certain action of Yigmar Belibo. It's like I'm making up my mind, and it's like, and that's, I think it could be, that's a part of why you say it, saying it. There's an idea of enunciating something makes it more real. It's like, I hereby commit myself that I've thought this thing through, I've removed myself from it now, I've thought into it and my energy is removed from it, but this isn't just because today is Yom Kippur. This is because now I'm thinking, and I'm thinking clearly, and I see this doesn't make any sense. So it's not just because now I feel guilty, but you have to realize that this is real, and this is not just the moment, you know, the feeling of the moment, but it's something which is I have like a full committed the mindset. There's like the idea of gemiras das, like when you in halacha, and when you make a sale, a purchase, it's not like, oh, I want to sell this thing. But before you make a sale, you think into it, and this is really what I want long term. This is like, that's what gemiras das. It's like, it's not just a fleeting, like I agreed to something in passing, but jokingly or whatever. But like in a sale, for it to be binding, has to be the guy really is committed to it. That's what he wanted. So I think there's an idea, is like a person has to take these processes. There's a tendency for us to be in a certain mindset on Yom Kippur, and then once Yom Kippur passes, it's done. But that's not going to work. So we have to realize, get in touch with our permanent self, and which realize this isn't just because today's Yom Kippur and I feel like I have to feel guilty and now I'm saying all these things, but I have to Yigmar Belibo Shalei Asevod in the future. I have to have a real, think into it in a way which is more than just the moment. And think into, this is really what I see to be true because of who I am and what I see in my long-term value judgments. And going ahead in the future, this is who I am now. From now on, this is it. It's not just that I now left it in the present and I'm not thinking about it anymore, but it's like, it's you're making a commitment based upon the process which you go through now, and you have to turn that towards the future. You know what I mean? I think that's the tricky part, because that's oftentimes it's easy to get us to think that we do the first two steps, but then it doesn't. You know, you could say we're doing the third step, but that's why I think it says God will testify that you really did do the third step, because the guilt itself tells you to say this. Everyone says, I don't have to do it again, you know? But there's a real... The way, I think it has to be, you have to kind of realize that there are emotions of Yom Kippur, or of whatever, and try to get beyond those. Try to get in touch with your true self, not just your Yom Kippur self. Because if you're just getting in touch with your Yom Kippur self, it's going to fall away once Yom Kippur's over. But you got to kind of dig in, dig deep, and try to think, do I really believe this? Is this really what I think and what I hold and who I am? And if I am, then what's going to happen tomorrow? My emotions may change tomorrow, but I already committed because I thought this thing through in a clear mind. This is what I'm going to do in the future. So I think a person has to think towards the future in order to avoid slipping back. You have to kind of get in touch with their longer-term self, to avoid the fact that the tshuva is just a momentary thing. It doesn't have to be Yom Kippur, so you're always in the moment. But there's such a thing as living in the moment but making a commitment towards the future, you know? So, I think that's the stuff.
You do that when you're fasting.
What's that?
It's really hard to do that when you're fasting. I don't know, I find that because I'm fasting...
It's distracting.
It's almost a distraction in a sense.
Right. I hear you.
It's not what you're usually doing on a typical day. So the next day when you go back eating again,
It's true, but I think it's also hard to do when you're eating. It's not. I think it's just hard to do. I mean, the fasting is true, but different hard.
Go to your true self.
I understand what you mean. But sometimes if you want to get to your true self, distractions are... I mean, I don't know, fasting could also be a distraction, I understand. That's what's tricky. I understood. But I think anyways a person could get in touch, you know. If you wanted to focus on something, you'd say, you could imagine, like, this is an important meeting. Let's not be eating, let's not be... There's an idea of focus, you know? But it's a good question. How does fasting fit into the picture? Okay.
Well, the Torah gives us both. We have a certain mitzvah.
That's true. Exactly. It's true. Yom Kippur is the culmination of the thing. You know, now's your time to eat. Okay, so we still have some pending problems, right? We didn't do... What didn't we do? The idea of a regret. Right? But hopefully, you know, you could try to think about regret. Somehow, if you really do this properly, and you really see how this is not me, I'm removed from it, then you regret the fact that you did that, because this is, you really see that this is it.
I have one more question about Vayig Marvel.
Your name is
Marvel. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
You were saying about Gemiras Das, that like when you have a legal contract, it has to have consideration.
Yeah, right.
So is that considered like a neder almost? Like, are you creating a contract that you're not going to do it again, and if you break that, you have to do a teres nedarim or something?
In what? In this or in a legal contract?
No, in this step of tshuva, is it considered a neder?
It's a good question. That's what someone says, Yadalav Yadatulamos, means that you call God as your witness that you're not going to do it again, which means it's like a type of a neder. The problem is that you can't really, it's not so easy to make a neder because you already have a neder. Because at Sinai, we're already bound by an ender that we're going to keep the mitzvahs, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's a type of an ender. I mean, yeah, it would seem to be it's that kind of a thing. Arguably, it's an ender. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly that type of a thing. That's what you're doing in an ender. Person in an ender says, listen, I've fallen into the thing, I'm never going to smoke again. And I'm committed to it, this is it. I know later I'm going to change my mind, but now I'm clear-minded and I'm making an ender and I'm locking it in and I'm setting up an esser. So then later I'll know, be able to hark back to this time and say, that's it. I thought about the future. That's what you're doing in that. There, you're trying to make a longer-term commitment because you know your emotions change. So now I'm thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. So it's like that. Whether halakhically, technically, it is an ether is a good question. I'm not sure. It's a halakhic question, but it's a good association because the concept is the same kind of idea. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So hopefully you could you could look into these things further. You could look at halach aleph, and hopefully this. The point of this is to help us do tshuva. So. Hopefully we can think about these things and try to... I think the main thing we can take from this is that tshuva has to be meaningful and thoughtful. And it shouldn't just be a superficial thing. You know, don't try to do 100 tshuvas. Try to do one or two good, thought-out tshuvas, you know, based upon real insight and, you know, thought in a way. The tshuva which doesn't last isn't really tshuva. Obviously you didn't do it right. So see if we could try to devote our energies towards, you know, for these few days on Yom Kippur to really, you know, work on things and really make real long-term changes. Okay? Gemara Tov.